Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Am I bringing her in?
Hello, boys.
Hello, boys.
No.
All right. You. Do you know what, love?
That's not hello.
You bring her
it's
in.
How are you?
How are you, lads?
How are you?
Right, come on.
That's the starty.
Oh, very good. Where are you from?
Cork.
Got it. I wanted if English out you, but don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's all right. Let's forget about it. Okay, go.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back this week. This is our first podcast having a guest on, and we couldn't be any more grateful to have wonderful Shannon Joyce joining us today. Hello, darling.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to see you.
I'm actually getting nervous.
I knew you would at the start.
You should probably pop one of them rescue remedies, whatever you get me there.
Are you awake over there? Are you?
I'm going to be beeping off now. I'll be like Snorlax and Pokemon waiting to see me snoring away. No, I'll be fine.
So Shannon's after filling Sean full of a litre of rescue remedy, and the young fella is sweating over there.
That's anxiety. He's not well today.
Yeah, he's looking a bit unwell, so I said I'd perk him up. You know?
Trust you to have a bag full of gear with you anyway.
Okay, so I had a bag full of gear. I have to get the train home. The guards will be waiting at Kent Station when I get back.
Oh, she couldn't find me at the train station coming up, and she went over to these 2 minutes. She's like, sorry, can you tell me where my friend is?
And he goes, no, because she's your friend. I was like,
this is how you went over and asked the people.
Yeah, so we were on FaceTime, and Carly was like, had her FaceTime.
Yeah.
Kind of turned around to like where she was, and I went over at my phone. And I was like, there was three of them. I was like, excuse me, just intention three of them. I was like, where's my friend? And he went, I don't know, she's your fucking friend. And then I was like, yeah, but she's here somewhere and I don't know where. And he was like, down there.
He still didn't know what she was talking about.
Yeah.
You walked here, bro. Like, yeah. How do you not know where you're at?
You would have heard her anyway.
She did. She did. That's how she ultimately found me. No. So, yeah. I'm about to get nervous.
Lads, I'm just going to be in the background somewhere here.
No.
Okay, right.
No.
I'll take over your podcast and I'll sort your shit out, right?
Amazing.
Right.
Do you want me cuffed now? So
change that E to a H.
Yeah.
Shan.
Oh my God. Shan. Will that be Shan then?
Yeah. Oh my days.
Give me that cup. So that story is Carly came in this morning with lovely personalised cups for everyone, the producer, Sean herself, and I had
got
to
a travel mug from Insomnia.
Reusable Insomnia cup because I didn't want to get a plastic paper cup because, you know, environment and all. So I was trying to be kind to the environment, but I did think that my good pal Carly might have got me a little present for coming all the way up from Cork, paying for my own train.
Paying
for my own time.
Oh.
Which is quite valuable. And
you have more followers than us, so you make more money.
Not even.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
We're the peasants here.
True. I can't believe that I'm here with it. Oh, gee. Like, what are we doing?
Come here, and I tell you now, I'd have got you a mug, baby, if I hadn't known. Mm. You know I would have.
I'll give you my address.
Yeah, I'm going to send you about 17 of them now. And when you see me, I'll
mug coming out my ears. Yeah. Mug for you.
Right. So basically, we're after getting a lovely young one up. A lot of yous probably know Shannon from Instagram. And anybody that doesn't know her, kind of want to touch on how you came to start your page.
God,
and everything.
It's a bit of a sob story, isn't it? And I'm so sick of being like, when I was 19, I had cancer. Like, get over it. You know, like, I can
it's
say that
lament,
because,
isn't
I,
it?
You know, you can say, when you've had cancer, you can say these things, can't you?
Say whatever you want, but you had cancer.
Yeah,
I nearly went to say something there and I was like,
no, Sean feels like he wants to chime in, but he can't. No.
Sean, but you can.
No, I can't. No, lads, I don't know anything got to do with cancer.
No, you have to have a good
here,
sense
so
of humor.
So I'm just going to basically come from my point of view on what the listeners would like to basically ask and hear from user perspective.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going to do.
So I have had cancer 3 times. Like, I'm not going to go into the details because it is quite, you know, gets quite boring. But anyway, I've had it 3 times. Once when I was 19, once when I was 24, then I relapsed at 25. And then I think we met when I was, after my first relapse when I was 24.
You were on the Ryan Tubridy show. That was the only reason I wanted to be a friend, actually. Because you were on the telly.
Okay, yeah. I'll ask Tubbs if he can maybe, you know, send you a birthday card or something.
Oh, my, I'd wear not a face off that man. And I really would. I'd just go on the Late Late Show and sit on his lap.
He has a box of jellies down next to his chair, so
I'm sure he fucking does. So listen, let me bring you back for a second, right? So you said you were diagnosed first time at 19.
Yeah.
How did you come to find that out?
I had a lump.
Right.
In my groin. The same lump that keeps showing Jesus, up. Just yeah. won't go away.
Oh, was it know? Always in the groin?
Always in the groin. All 3 times. No. Left groin, same lump. Please go away. You know, it's very mm-hmm. annoying. I actually have one at the moment there. I was in hospital the other day with it.
Another one?
Another one. So I was like, this is great. I went up because I was like, hopefully they'll just be like, you're being dramatic. There's no lump there. But they were like, no, there definitely is a lump there. But it's actually quite small. So we're not worrying about it because everybody has lymph nodes.
Yeah, so absolutely.
The doctor said to me, if you go looking at anybody, if you dig deep enough into somebody's mm-hmm. armpit or neck or...
You're going to feel
you're
it.
You're going to feel a little something because whatever, you know, they're there. They are there. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's cancer, but obviously because my brain, when I get a pain in my toe, I'm like, oh, there it is. 6 weeks to live.
Well, you know, if you're after relapsing 3 times, love, it's obviously going to be the first thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah. But not being dramatic or anything.
Yeah. When you found your lump, you documented it all on Instagram.
Not that time. So when
This time
I did. So when I was 19, just did my treatment, wasn't on Instagram or anything. And then the second time, so I was 24, June of 2019.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I wish I had pictures and videos from last time that I could remember and you know what I'm about to go through again and you know even like what chemo days are going to be like and what losing your hair is going to be like, because I'd gone through it all, but because it was 5 years before that, I'd just forgotten about it, you know, so I was like, I'd really love to document it.
Yeah, Brian puts it in survival mode for an awful lot of it as well, so you actually can't really remember what it's like going through it.
Yeah, because you go into flight mode and you just get through it and then afterwards you're like, oh Jesus, what was that?
Yeah.
So I said, you know what, now, and I talked to Barry and I was like, do you think it'd be a good idea to like put on Instagram? Like, I had 100 followers. Like, I didn't have any followers or anything like that. And I was like, just for my family and friends, just to, you know, keep them updated.
Instead of having to keep on sending text messages around as well, it's kind of
with the WhatsApp groups. I'm like, you know, put it on Instagram if you want to find out how I am. So I put a question box up, I think, or something cringy like that, being like, I'm going to document my cancer journey. Would you like to see it? And I put a yes or no. And I got 99% yes and 1% no. The 1% no was my best friend, Anne.
Oh,
so I'm calling her out.
Is she still your best friend?
She's still my best friend, but she was just being...
Poor Anne's nerves were gone. Will you leave her?
No, she was just being a bitch. She kind of want to be looking at your stories every day.
Oh,
she
Anne was just over you?
Yeah, she texted me there a while ago. She said, where are you going? I said, Dublin. For what? I said, look at my stories. She goes, I can't be dealing with your stories.
That's quite like me and you. Yeah, Sean, like, do you not see me story? I'm like, 2 seconds there, go back on it.
Yeah, so I was like, do you know what now, Anne? I'm going to prove you wrong and I'm going to do it. And I did. And then do you know what? I think it's because like I was young and I had a young baby and a lot of people like could relate to it and it was sad. Like, people love the sad
Irish
story.
Irish people are so morbid. They're like, when it comes to something,
like,
tell you. But they're all in when something grim is going on. They fucking love
it. My mum spends half her day on RIP.ie.
Oh, they have a horn for it. Do you know who dies there now?
And then she'd be ringing my nan.
Bastards.
The fella, the McCarty's up the top of the hill. He's gone. Oh, what happened to him? He's mourned by his wife. He's the...
Yeah. Survived by the cousin. Like,
you don't know him. Get over it. So anyway, people love the sob stories, love them up. You know, is this one going to die with cancer? What's going on? You know,
they're like, itching for it, yeah.
Let's have a look. So followers just started growing. Then big grammars gave me little shout outs like Suzanne Jackson, Rosie Connolly, Just
Susie
Jordan.
Susie won an all, don't you?
Yeah. Just Jordan. They all were like very good at getting my story out there and blah, blah, blah. That was great. Got a little bit of a following from that, went through it all, had my transplant, again, not going to bore you with that, but had a stem cell transplant, so I was in hospital for like 6 weeks for that one.
Can I just stop you here for 1 second? Because I remember at the time when you were getting your stem cell transplant, you were saying how difficult it is to actually go through with it because they're so little.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain to people?
Like, it literally, you go in to a room, like the size of this room, and once you go in there, you're in there until you're going home again, which can be like anywhere between 4 weeks and 40 weeks. Like, yeah, it could genuinely be anything. You start 7 days of intensive chemo, so you'd have like two hours in the morning, 4 hours in the afternoon, three more bags before bed. It's just constant chemo for 7 days.
Is that just in the one room, like just you and a nurse, or is like everyone in this room?
No, just me on my own, one room. It's an isolated room. You can be at risk of catching an infection, because what this 7 days chemo does, it literally wipes your immune system.
It destroys your immune system.
So they have a board in the room, and when you come in, they take your bloods. You get bloods taken 2 or 3 times a day. So we'd say when you come in, your hemoglobin could be 11.7. And then as the days go on, you see it dropping, and your platelets are dropping, your neutrophils are dropping. And then at one stage, that board just says zero.
Yeah.
And when
Jesus
that board says
Christ.
Zero, you are dead in the bed. Like
Barry, a bit
said
of dust
to me,
is fucking taking you out.
Barry said to me, he came up at one stage, he said, I sat at the side of your bed for 2 days, said it was the most upsetting thing ever, he said, because you didn't open your eyes once.
Jesus.
And I was
Christ.
Like, he was like, it was scary. He's like, I was going out asking nurses, were you okay? He was like, but apparently it's normal.
It's
and
part of it all, yeah.
And then it's funny because they're like, then one day it'll just start to make sense. And now that I'm thankfully out of it, it does make sense. My blood started coming back up. I started getting a little bit more energy. I started being able to walk from the bed to the door and back again. I was able to sit up for 20 minutes a day instead of lying all day. And
little things.
Just little things. Just kept moving forward every day. And eventually I got out. That was fine. Life was great. Planning Christmas and my summer, and oh God, I couldn't wait. And then we got poxy cancer again.
Yeah. What the fuck? Then
I'll never forget that.
This is so scary. I feel sick. But like, in a go by that, I'm being educated about it as well, and so is everyone else. But like, it's just so weird.
Yeah,
it's
so
just like a
like,
dinner topic table. You're like, it's not going to be me. Like,
no,
it's just
but
like,
that's
did you hear
the thing.
Such and such down the road.
I remember saying to my cousin, I can't remember what it was about. We were talking something, and I remember saying to him, "Come here. There's more chance of every single person in this town getting cancer before I'd ever get it again, because I'm so." Like, I've gotten it. I'm so in tune with my body. I am getting scanned and bloods done every so often that, like, it would be caught. Like, I just couldn't possibly. And then it came back for the third time and I was like, okay, this actually can happen. So obviously that time, like, shit hit the fan and I freaked out. I was like, I'm definitely going to die because I'd had the transplant and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm gone. But anyway, we went to Dublin. We met the team. Chemo again, lose your hair again. And I was just after, like, getting it back. And, you know, it was just,
was
like,
just
starting all
you.
Over again.
So when CF4 diagnosis...
Yeah.
Yeah. What was worse, your first diagnosis or when it had come back to you the second time? Or the third time?
Oh, I think the third time
the third
was the
done
worst.
You in.
Because then I was like, I'm actually running out of options.
Yeah, like if it's after coming back fucking three times, is like, it going to do it again?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I can't
like,
imagine
I was only 19
felt, like.
The first time, so I was like, oh, yeah. Well, it was like, I got a flu. You know, I didn't really
young
take it serious.
Yeah.
I didn't really take it serious. Like, not I didn't take it serious, but, you know, I wasn't really affected by it. You know, I was like... I was sick, I lost my hair, you know, but I was fine, I bounced back. I went on, I met Barry, I had a baby, like I had a job, I was just normal again.
Yeah.
But now, after the third time, I'm like, will I ever be normal again? You know, because like that, found this lump last week and like up in a heap, can't cope, can't sleep, can't eat. I think my cancer is back. We're Googling what the next options are. Then you're like, oh my God, are there any options? What are you going to do? Oh, you're just going to die. Roisin's going to have no mother. Like, you just go to this really awful place and it's really, really shitty. So I don't want to go back to that place. I don't want to keep going back to that place. So we found a lump now, we'd say, and we're just going to keep an eye on it. And I'm trying to control my anxiety and my health scares and my health anxiety and just be like,
yep.
Popping pills.
the rescue remedy.
Rescue remedy. Drinking bottles of it every day. No, I go to therapy and I do sea swimming and I do loads of things for my head. And yeah, like, I'm getting over it.
Yeah, really, really pulling it together, especially over the past while. And getting a scare now as well. And then after getting your scare, a day later, you're in a barrel of freezing cold water outside a fucking sauna. I was like, what is this woman at?
I know, but it's so liberating. Like, making yourself really, really cold and then being able to go into a sauna where you warm yourself up. There's just something about it.
But
you have to do
it. It's all about like that. It does something to your mind.
Just
when you're
something.
Able to concentrate in that state of fucking shock.
Do you know what it is? You have to get your breathing right.
Yeah.
So when you're in the water... Like, if you literally hyperventilate if you don't, like, catch your breath. So, like, you just focus on nothing but your breathing.
Yeah.
And you just calm down and you're not thinking about anything else. And it's the same when you're in the sauna because it's so hot. You're just, like, trying to get through it. Then when you go into the sea, it's the same. Like, I sound like an absolute dryer over here now, but I just love doing it.
No, I love that for you because I've started doing it now recently as well.
Oh,
I
you have? Don't ever text me again trying to ask me to jump into cold water because I'm
becoming too. Oh my God. And he fucking hates me for it.
Can we go after?
I am not jumping into 40 degree, minus 40 fucking, no. I'm not
Sean,
jumping into cold water.
It's so nice.
It is for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you keep enjoying that.
But recently my mental health has been in the gutter and I mean really, really bad, like to the point that I'm trying meditation, journaling, like that breath work. It's supposed to be fantastic for
Reiki.
Now look at him laughing at me. Reiki. And do you know what the gas part is? Our counselling, out of relaxers, and I'll hold my hands up when it gets really bad. I genuinely do have
you
to look after myself that way. The only thing that works for me out of everything is Reiki. And I promise you that now, obviously, I have to give me new counselling a chance because I've literally only shouted at that woman for 2 whole hours since I started. The woman doesn't, I don't know what she sounds like, God love her.
But she's after blocking your number. And
yeah, no, literally. So I have to give that a chance. But immediate effect, the only thing that really, really works for me is Reiki.
And I find that with acupuncture.
Oh, I've never had it.
No.
Like, is it in your head? Is it not? Is it just like the placebo? Is it like,
come here,
you
know, all the, take all the placebo in the world. If that makes me feel fucking feel better.
I don't care. Absolutely. I'm like, stick those needles in my head and
don't
let me lie
hole,
here.
Do what you want with them, as long as they're all right.
And I'll be fine then afterwards. Swear to God, helps with everything.
But it's so great to see you thriving now and taking these little steps for yourself. Because like you said, Sian, at the end of the day, like, you're a full ma. You have a full person.
Full grown
child. I love how
child.
She screamed on the ma part.
She's like, you're a ma. You're a mother.
Can I be a MILF?
Oh, you little sexy. Of course you're a MILF.
Thank you.
Yeah, little cracker. But see, going through, and again, all of this was Roisin, like, probably our main focus going through the whole lot.
Like, she broke my heart. And even now, so last night, I said to her, oh yeah, I must go to Dublin tomorrow. And like, her face like dropped. She's like, when are you coming back?
Well, she associates
Dublin, Dublin with hospital,
yeah,
or
absolutely.
Me going away. And I was like, oh no, I'm just going up to record something. And she was like, a song?
Yes. We do her a song at the end of this.
We will do you a song.
We will do you a song, Roisin.
And I was like, no, and I'll be home tonight. She's like, will you be home before bed? I was like, yeah, I could be. She was like, well, you'll be home when I wake for school in the morning. Like, she was so
itching to know, like, what the story,
you know,
was.
She was so shocked that I was going to Dublin, but I was coming home. You know, that kind of way.
How my heart.
Yeah, no, so she does break my heart. And then, like, it's so funny, then we were out the beach a couple of weeks ago with one of her friends, and her friend, like, kids come out with anything. Like, if you're sensitive, do not be around kids because,
no,
like,
they
will hurt your feelings. They do devils. Not give a shit about you or how you feel or how you feel about how you look.
No,
nothing. Yeah.
What
nothing.
Are you baldy for? Oh, for fuck's sake.
Literally. Oh. So out the beach. No, I had my little mushroom head like this. And Roisin's friend said, my mum told me you used to wear a wig. Hanging her mother out to dry.
So if you're listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hung her mother out to dry. And Roisin goes, yeah, she did. She loads them. She loads them. And she's like, because it's so normal to her.
Yeah, like,
and then the friend was like, how come? And I said, I was like, oh God, like,
how do we do this?
I'm at the beach with 2 5-year-olds and I'm not going to be like, well, I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And, you know, so I was like, I was just sick. And Roisin pipes up, she diabetes.
She diabetes?
Sorry. I was like, no, I didn't. She's like, what was the thing you had so? Like, as in, it's so irrelevant to her. She doesn't even care to remember what it was. Yeah. She's just like, yeah, you were sick, you lost your hair, but you're fine now.
Oh, she's a little fucking L when she had diabetes.
She diabetes.
She's a legend, that child, I swear.
She's fine.
Yeah. Not a bother on
her. Like, and then she's like, come on, as in, like, you know, enough about her.
Leave her. Yeah.
She's fine. She used to wear wigs. Get over it.
So the hilarious part is, you're saying that Roisin's asking when you're getting home before bed. Now, you'll probably get home, she fucking looked at him like, where are you? She's no time for
look at
lady.
You now.
She
no,
has
literally,
no
I know.
Time for
I was watching her stories. Yeah, come on out there, Roisin.
Yeah. No. No,
Roisin doesn't like her.
No, she was telling Roisin to get out. She's like, come on out and play with your friends.
Yeah, I was like, your friends are outside. She's like, where? I can't see. I was like, I'm knocking their door. They're in there.
They're like two sisters. To no, carry on, that's two of them.
Barry is always like twice, right? So we'll start fighting and bickering, and he'll go, Roisin, will you be the adult here now?
Because I'm asking not going to be.
And I'm like, but she said this to me. And then he's like, yeah. But I'm like, yeah, but she's not allowed to have that attitude. I'm like, she's rude. And then she's like, you're rude. Oh. I'm like, okay then. And then we were in bed last night. Said goodnight. And she was like, I don't want you to put me to bed.
Oh.
Now, how old is Roisin, please?
Four. Five. How old is she? I
thought she was about 12.
No, no, five. She's five. She's not six till Christmas, Sean. She's not even five and a half. She's like, actually, I don't really want you to read my story. I was like, well, your dad's at the gym, so who's going to read your story? Ugh, fine. I was
like, oh, like you'll do?
Yeah, you'll do. Started reading the story. No, you're doing it wrong.
Oh.
What? I'm reading the words. The princess grew fairies, and now she can go from tree
now
to tree.
Now, why are you reading it like Stephen Hawking? Because I wouldn't want to hear it either, to be honest with you. Because fuck that for a game of cards, girls.
I was trying to put her to sleep.
Monotone.
That would be a fucking for the child, for God's sake.
But that would have woke her up. I'm trying to calm her down. She's
and
very highly strung.
To the store.
And when she got back from the shop,
no wonder she was crying for fucking Bertie. So would I have been.
So then she started doing her own stories, right? They probably won't play. She... maybe I'll just tell you about them.
She just take the wheel off you and just say, yeah, yeah, go on, I'll soothe myself.
I'll put myself to sleep, ma'am, thanks. So she just turned off the light, had zero shits of what I wanted to do.
Wrote in like the car map in the bed.
Well, tell.
Ah, Nelly.
August. You have that child reading La Squelga.
She's reading La Squelga.
She fucking right.
No, La Squelga.
La Squelga.
She's just, yeah. Yeah, the screwed for pair.
Oh, oh, very, very good.
Good.
Lads, I'm fluent Irish.
No.
Fuck off.
I did. Nobody ever believes this.
Tell
about
us how diabetes an Irish gum.
V diabetes is a gum.
Oh, very
say
good.
Say, your dad's a filthy little riot.
Excuse me.
No, not your particular dad. I just want to know how to say it if I ever end up on the Achill Islands and I see a lovely man.
You just say, faker your.
Tarida gum.
Faker the Yeti.
Oh, figure the Yeti.
Yeti.
Yeti Shukra.
Figure me Daddy Shukra.
Oh my God, get me down to the Gael Talk now. I'll take the back axle out of someone's over.
I want to see what else she was.
Fashion. Wait, no. Neil Nelly.
She was putting me to sleep at this stage.
Egg. Yeah, but bro, that's so much more exciting than the way you are reading, to be fair.
Ta-she-egg.
Oh, she walking. I'm flailing now as well.
Toshi egg over. All right.
Go ahead. Know.
That's the young one flat just letting you know.
Remember the day we were going to the event? What did she do to me that day? Oh.
What'd she do to me that day?
Oh, she hated you that day as well. I remember you telling me you were in the scream or something.
I was driving up the road and I was like fuming. I was like, why would she like me? So I was driving up the road and I was like, that's just, it's not very nice. But anyway. Dropped her off to school, but I was obviously all dolled up because we were going to the event.
Yeah.
Dropped her off to school and I was like, giving her a kiss and I was like, oh, babe, it won't be me collecting you now from school because I'm going away. It'll be dad. She got out the car, looked back in, good. Slammed the car door, walked into school. So Barry's always telling me, he's like, oh, me and Roisin have this really cute thing. Like when I drop her to school, they do a love heart with their hands and then they throw the love heart to each other. So I was standing at the gate after she was
You didn't do the love heart, did you?
Yeah, so I got out of the car. After she slammed the door at me, going, good, I got out of the car to, like, walk her in.
Don't.
And I was standing at the guy's like, Roisin!
Doing
the love heart. Roisin! And she literally just turned around, turned back in and walked in. I was
she made a fool out of you, boy.
I was like this, then throwing love hearts. Like,
fucking catch one.
Yeah, I was like, it's a team of love heart. And she... completely walked into school, completely ignored me.
How does it feel to be that mad? Because you know when we were younger, like, oh, mad gonna eat me.
Yeah.
That's you now.
But you see, I think we're best friends. So like I'd be sitting up and like as in she said to me last night, right?
Go on.
Ma, when she didn't call me Ma, actually. See, I hang around with you for 5 minutes and I'm talking like a poxy dub. Poxy, see?
Yoo-hoo!
She said to me, Mother.
Mother.
Mom. She said, Ma'am, is Love Island starting this week? I was like, oh. I was like, what do you know about Love Island? Mam used to let me stay up all last year watching her. I was like, oh, Jesus. I was like, no, I didn't. I did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, like once or twice, you know, because it's on at 9 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. And then she was like, I can't sleep yet. I was like, get into here next to me and watch Love Island for a while. I didn't think she knew what was going on.
But now
she's really looking forward to it.
And do you know what? I'm glad for her. Because everybody needs something to look forward to.
I'm excited for her to have something to look forward to. Stay up way past your bedtime, going to school rec tomorrow. Why are you so tired? I was watching Love Island. It's a recoupling. I had to chill.
She didn't have to speak to the teacher. She'll be all right.
One last thing about Roisin before I move on, because this is about me.
She takes her thunder all the time.
Taking my thunder. I'm sick of it. Not today.
This is all about Big C and me today.
Do you want Big C and me? Because now listen, this is another thing as well. You came away from that.
Controversial.
You came away from that.
Come away from it, keeps coming back.
Does. And you know what, Sian? I do. I think it's a lovely little name, and it's
my name.
Yeah, well, that as well. But no, Big CME was very catchy.
Sian Joyce is shit, but Big CME was.
Listen, Sian Joyce, all right? Like, but yeah, Big CME was very fitting.
It was, and I did want to get rid of it because look, remember after the transplant and I had my big like spiel and I was like, I want to like close this chapter and not be big whatever anymore. Change my name to Sian Joyce. There was a big rigmarole because I couldn't do it because I had a blue tick.
Would you be able to fame of it all? The fucking fame of it all?
I'm sorry. No, you will. I'll talk to my people and I'll try sort you out.
When I get my hands on the Tuberty fella, I get my
You'll get your blue ticks out there, get my hands on him.
Can I have a strawberry jelly, right?
So, what was I saying? Can't remember.
Your name, and it was a disaster.
Oh yeah, and I was trying to change it, and then I changed it. But then the abuse I was getting, because, you know, like a month or two later, I might put up being like, oh, I have a chest infection, I have to go back into hospital, and they'd be like, you wanted to come away from cancer and being sick, and now all you ever talk about is being sick. And I'm like, yeah, but that's because I am always sick. I'm not making it up. Like,
yeah,
I don't go into A&E and hospital for the crack. Like, it's because I'm still sick. Maybe I don't have cancer, but I still have cancer-related issues and a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know?
And so he's listening? Right.
That's the reason people
can you
followed
hear
you?
Me? Thank you.
In the first place.
Yeah.
Is
no, so no. They followed because they wanted the sob story.
That's what I'm saying. And then the sob story was over. But then they sat around, and then when you talk about any sort of sickness that you have or any problems that you have, and then they're giving out to you for it. Why the fuck are you here for?
What do they say about me again? Like, I don't read any of the shit, but my, like, I'd hear, you know, you'd get some screenshots every now and again, or you'd hear something, and they're like, she's toxic positivity? Is that what it's called?
Oh, God, forgive me, yeah.
Yeah, so I, like, try to be, like, all positive and, you know, find the rain after the what's the thing? Yeah, what was happening over there? I couldn't get my words out because I was what?
Are you all right?
Did she was having a stroke?
No, I'm fresh.
You were having too much attention. She wanted to.
No, honestly, I was trying to get my words out, and she was like, over in the chair. I was like,
no, I'm sorry. I caught my esophagus. I was very sore.
Are you all right? Yeah. No, so you know, I'd be like positive or whatever, but then people like she always draws it back to like having an illness or having a sickness. So she's like. Like, no, I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be away from my child. I don't want to be away from my house. I don't want to be stuck in a hospital with people snoring next to me and using a toilet with a man who's pissing all over the seat. No, thank you. I want to be at home.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you know what I mean? Like, did you find that after you were diagnosed, like, that you know, that people expected that your cancer was gone, you should just be Carly again? You should just, like...
It's a bit of a weird one because... I found that everybody, like when I got sick, like everybody fucking bolted around me and everybody.
Oh,
Jesus, it was all the fucking Carly show then, do you know what I'm saying? And it was all a bit of crack. I also find that an awful lot of people come at you so heavily because they're trying to clear some sort of fucking conscience. Yeah. Very, very strange. It's a strange one. Like I had people that I'd never even really spoken to before, people that had beef with, and I was like, oh, Carly, I'm so sad. Are you, now do you think I'm going to die and you just want to get this out of your system in case I do kick the bucket? Because that's all a bit of crack. Like,
because you know, it's not going to be great saying it to a headstone, you
know? Yeah, exactly. So you may as well get it out of your system. But I think, don't push your guilt on me. I think that's very unfair. Mm-hmm. But I do find that people idolised me and loved me when I was sick. A friend of mine actually sent me a message. My friend Curtis messaged me and he said, listen, Carly, I'm so happy for you with this social media thing and I love that it's taken off you and I think it's great. But I just want you to remember that you are going to come out the other end of this and you are going to get better. And when it comes to that stage, I need you to realise that people are fickle and people are just going to dwindle. And I don't want you to be sat up here on this little high and then
thinking
be hoarse when
there
it does fizzle out. He said, so just make sure that the people around you are around you for the right reasons. He said, from the outside looking in, I can kind of see a little bit of messing. He said, and just from like a friend that knows you a very long time, I just really want you to keep your head screwed on.
Because when you're sick like that, what I was finding was, you know, like someone would give you attention and be like, come on, I'll take you out for lunch. And you'd be like, okay, and you'd love it. And you know, like who wouldn't? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Old friends coming back, having the chats, like nothing ever changed.
Oh, I had people coming out of the woodwork and, oh, let's go for lunch. Let's do this. Yeah, did you get that fucking picture lunch and then you weren't here from them for weeks then?
And when I got to like 100k on Instagram, oh my good Christ, did I have some friends.
That was when I started to like you.
Yeah. I'm just about to leave now.
No, stay where you're at. No, but I know what you mean. No,
but when I started getting followers on Instagram, people be like, oh yeah, taking pictures. And I'd be like, well,
pulling out the primary school photos and Andy fucking
and tagging me. I'm like, you kicked me in the shin that day and made me cry.
You should like, just tell them what I do. End of the night. That's for photos.
Yeah, you're only allowed to take photos with Sean at the end of the night.
No, I don't do that.
Do you have a rule?
I do. Me fuck have a rule. Kind of
does have a rule.
It, up. It was Little Mix. It was the last concert. I'm going to keep saying it every podcast until we're done as well. That it was the last concert. I don't want to start standing there going through bleeding videos of me. I know what videos I have. Thank you so much. I love yous and all, but like I can't be standing there like and then they're like, do you want to go get a shot? No. I don't know yous, but like I absolutely love yous and I love that yous follow me, but like I don't want to. And then the crowds are coming over. I was like, no, go away.
So you experienced it in a different way.
In a different way.
No, but it is hard though. Like when I went to Cheering, my friends were like, well, I'm never going anywhere with you again.
No.
And I could see they were getting annoyed as well because like they were coming up to them and they were going, oh, will you take a picture of us? And like they were just taking pictures of me with strangers and like...
And their friends think we're shitebags. So when they have to stand and take pictures of us, they're like, fuck
off. One of my friends, like, she came over, she was like... Because it was like the first time we'd ever kind of gone somewhere like that where people were asking for pictures.
Yeah.
The other one is kind of used to it because we'd be together more. But Louise is like, you're just my friend. Why are they like, why do I want all these pictures? Like, why? And I was like, because of Instagram. She's like... But what do you mean? They don't get it. Like, it's like they don't get like.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm only starting to get it now. Like I said in an episode previous to Sean, like we were talking about this whole thing about people asking for pictures, and I only mentioned it another one as well that I couldn't understand why someone would want a picture with me. Makes no sense in my current mind. But then as well, I had a woman like that only come up to me and be like, look, like my daughter really was on the brink of something and she started watching you and she started really appreciating her life because she's seen how fucking sick and down you were and how you were able to pick yourself back up. Like you got her through a stint of time in her life where she didn't want to be here and she really looks up to you because of that. Then in my head, I was like, right, okay, that actually makes perfect
sense. It actually does
something. You know what I'm saying?
And like, I'm not even talking shit to you because you're sitting in front of me, but like, the two of you have got me through some seriously dark times. Like when I was in James's, when I was in my transplant, so I couldn't have any visitors because of COVID, so they wouldn't leave anybody. Remember my dad used to come up to the window.
Oh, don't even do that.
3 hours up the road to wave in the window at me. And we'd have to be on the phone to each other as well because you couldn't hear through the window and back out again. I wasn't out of leave the room. I was in there for 9 weeks. It was just terrible. And ye used to do lives.
Oh.
The night elves.
We used to have.
And I would be up anyway because I'd be bouncing with steroids. So whatever time of the night it was, I was like...
You were buzzing. I was buzzing.
But like, do you know, and you might have thought, we're just two dopes now doing this and just having the chats with each other and just keeping each other company. But
it's
I was
we were on FaceTime to each other.
That's what it was. But I was like sitting in my hospital bed and I was watching it and I was like, this is lovely because it's like... I'm there, you know, I'm there as well and I'm not here. Yeah. And like there was one week you did it with Charlene and you had the, like, you know, the chats and it was great because I was like, I was able to watch it and I was, you know, and just take myself out of it and not be watching Netflix and just be watching people that I just love talking to in
people
general.
People actually interacting rather than watching a fucking scripted show. Yeah, watching people having the crack and you can relate to it as well. So it's nice, you know, that way.
Yeah. Like, do you ever get awkward about... cancer, Sean, like as in if me and Carly were taking the piss and we were like, okay, so wait,
oh no, because I know you two are messing bastards.
Yeah, you see,
like but like if you're different of like you two were there and like someone else was there and I know they'd be getting awkward kind of thing, like I'm fine because of Carly, like
he's not really fine. Tell her what you were like with me when I got diagnosed and everything. You didn't know
know what to say. This is what I mean, like how can a question for me, like how can we let all the listeners know of that anyone is going through, like how can you be there for that person?
What can you do for
knowing
them?
That you're going to be in an awkward situation because you don't have it? So like what would you give, like, advice to them? Like
I would just literally want to be treated the exact same. Like I remember, I think, do you know what, I've been diagnosed so many times I don't even know. We'd say the last time I was diagnosed, I was out my mom's house. My dad came straight out. Barry was there. We dropped Roisin up to her other nannies just to not have her in the environment. My uncles came out, Anne came in, she came in and she like, so I'd all the kind of family out hugging and kissing. My nan was there, you know, just sitting down, drinking cups of tea. Me and Anne went into the sitting room. We had a couple of minutes together. She just hugged me, kissed me and we had the biggest cry. And then we were like, right, come on, let's just do it again. You know, yeah. We just have to do it. Went out, mam got cakes. We all, because like my parents just split up. So like my stepmother was there, my mam was there, my dad was there. Like the whole, that's all I wanted.
Yeah.
And it was so lovely. And we had a cup of tea. We had a slice of cake. And we had just gotten the worst news that you could possibly get. But it was like a comfort.
Didn't feel that way.
No, it didn't feel that way because we were just all together. Nobody was awkward. Nobody was like, oh God, I don't know what to say to her. Because there's nothing you can say. It is shit and we know it's shit. And all you do say is, I have no words for you. I'm so sorry. That's but I'm going to be with you.
And yeah. Me sobbing, crying.
Oh, yeah. Raw, I'm crying, God love
And
me.
I'm going to be with you every step of the way. That's yeah. all we want to hear. And you know what? You do hear it off some people. You're going to, yeah, you'll be with me for about four steps and then you'll probably leave.
Yeah.
But you know when your true friends are like,
of course.
Like Anne has slept on hospital beds next to me when I was in for a couple of nights for a procedure. She's like, I'm not leaving her alone up there. And she'd come up and she'd sleep on the chair. We do face masks. She was painting my nails. Yeah. You know, like, and that's a friend and that's what you need in those times. You need to be someone's friend.
Yeah.
So if you know you're a person who's kind of just doing it just to be in the...
To be seen to be doing it.
Just don't do it. Because it's hurtful for the person on the other end.
Because when it comes to the end of it and you're after fucking off and then we're left them with the emptiness. Yeah. Oh, am I only good enough when I'm sick sort of thing. But for me...
But you do realise who your friends are.
Oh, 100%. 100%. But for me, in that sense, quite similar to you, all I can recommend to people going through something like that and being there for people, be the exact same. Don't bring it up unless they bring it up. I know obviously you're going to have your curiosities and stuff, and if it's an important question that you need to know the answer to, fair enough. But if you can avoid speaking about cancer, unless that person brings it up to you, do it. Talk about...
I did kind of love though, you know, like if I'd met, so like I call them my camogie girls because we used to play camogie together.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't see them as much, but if we ever met for dinner, you know, and some of them could be like a little bit awkward or, you know, kind of like, oh... Don't want to be like, how are you? You know, the...
Yeah, I hate that doe-eyed Bambi.
Are you all right? Yeah. So they'd be kind of sitting there. And I'd love when they'd be like, how's your hair coming along? Or were you sick from your last treatment? You know, just so I could... For it to not be an awkward conversation. And for me to be like, I'm very happy and open to talk about it. But then I do know there are some people who maybe if they're going out with their friends, they just don't want to talk about it.
Do you know
cancer.
What it is? I like when I'm around people like that are close to me, that are confident, going, what's the story of that last treatment? You didn't wake up for fucking 4 days. Yeah. That's a bit of crack. But you know when people see it and they feel like the only thing you're capable of speaking about
is cancer.
That's what I mean. I don't mean your mates asking you fucking questions here and there. That's grand. But I mean, when you meet somebody that you work with, now it's been out of work for a couple of weeks.
And then there's
like,
that silence for 10 seconds because they're like, will I say it? Won't I say it?
Do you get me? Like, why don't you just ask me how I'm doing? How are you getting on, Jesus? And any news with you? Yeah. And then maybe I'll turn around.
I can't see why it would be an awkward situation, though. Like, I still think if anybody, touch wood, close to me was diagnosed and I was there, I think I'd be like, I think I'd still be like, oh God, I don't know what to do. You know, like, what do I say? Even though I've been on the other end of it so many times, if somebody close to me got it, I'd probably go into that panic stage, like, what will I do for them? Like?
I'd just be like, you're going to be mad looking bald. And I really would.
What?
Who are you going to say that?
If anybody got diagnosed around me, I'd be like, that's mad crack, isn't it? I'd be like, listen, sorry, you'd be fresh. And that's just the way I'd handle it. Yeah. I wouldn't be going in and being like, oh, Jesus.
You see, I'm too soft. Then I would just be bawling. You're going to be so ugly bald.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, you're going to be like fucking mega mind with that head. And I can't wait to see the head. Because that's all I got.
I had a lovely head.
Who called you that?
Mega mind. Do you know what I got told? And me tweet on Twitter is doing very well, actually. I wouldn't mind now.
Are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. I'm Leetle on Twitter.
She's famous on Twitter.
Listen, I tell you, I had 2 million likes on my tweet that I put up the day I lost cancer. The day that I got the all clear cancer free, shall we say. I put up a tweet saying, I'm fucking cancer free. And I forget what the rest was said. And I got 2 million likes. 2 million people on this earth liked a tweet that I put up. 2 million, right? That's fucking madness. And then obviously you can go into like the analytics of the tweet and like more millions of people had seen the tweet. I just didn't like it because I think they're a little bit jealous. But more people had seen it.
I'm baffled by that.
Yeah.
How many followers? Do you have followers on Twitter?
No, I only have 20.7k, but we won't even talk about that. But
I think that's great for Twitter. But
yeah.
Now, bear in mind, I'm on Twitter since 2011, so what I had to do, right, with Twitter?
All your followers?
I had to... No, I didn't be shy.
Okay. Carly buys her followers.
Don't now, Stack, because people are going to start bot checking me. Yeah. Then I'll be really upset if I have loads of fake ones. I'd be sobbing.
I was bot checking mine the other day because apparently there's loads.
There's loads of ghost ones coming in.
Loads coming in about people.
I haven't even got a spare euro to get myself a meal, so I'm definitely not buying.
She's drinking our same coffee since 8 o'clock. Will I know, come home?
She's definitely not buying her followers.
No, she's not buying our followers.
Who's getting me dinner after this?
I'll give you the dinner, love. Yeah, that there's loads of like big influencers.
You know straight away, and whoever's listening and wants to be nosy, because they're all nosy, just go into their page and click their reels. And if they have 100 and something kind, they're only getting 10k in their reels, they're buying their followers.
Now, what do you mean? One thing I will say about reels.
My thing is, if you go into their followers and type in.
Oh.
No, I swear to God, I'm not even trying to be funny. If you type in, you see all of the. The bot followers,
yeah.
Followers, like, I'm not going to name names. I'm just going to show you one, though.
Oh, I'm itching to see whose page she's on.
Watch, right? Oh. Ting. Look at all of them.
Oh, my God.
How many?
10K.
Oh, my. The tea is real and we will not share it. Right, lads, so we're out there having to just have a little personal conversation there because realistically, we do really want to keep this podcast. We're only at the start of 10 minutes ago. So
I'll never be invited back again.
I love the trouble you're after causing me a little swine.
Cancel joking.
Yeah. Oh, my God, please don't cancel me again. I've already been cancelled.
Ah, yeah, you have, haven't you, love?
Yeah. You know, give me a break. I'm just back.
Do you know what?
Even if I was
cancelled. I know, but I got cancelled. And then I was like, do you know what? I am not letting any stranger take this away from me. And I got up and I have been busier.
That's my woman. Yeah, if someone tried to cancel me, I'd just be like, ha ha. Well, it's not happening. Yeah. So thanks.
No,
they did.
They
nice try.
Happened to me.
Did you get cancelled?
I don't know what happened. So I just woke up and it was gone. But now it's back.
Oh, that was just a glitch in the system.
That was just an error. Nobody cancelled you. If anybody tried to cancel you, I would honestly... kick them in the face.
People aren't allowed to cancel us. It's actually in the rules.
Yeah. Cancer. Cancel. Can't.
Can't. Cancel. Cancer. Baby. T-shirts. Ian, get it down.
Come on, Ian.
Trademark that shit right now.
Can't cancel cancer.
Actually, remember me and you were talking about it.
I'm like running out of water.
Give me more rescue remedy.
No.
Remember me and you were talking about as well that we would have loved to go to the schools.
Yes, and do talks.
And we still want to do that.
We do.
So if we have any educators, teachers, more so for, we are girls, but for boys too.
Yeah,
but
I wouldn't be embarrassed. We see, boys might be embarrassed.
That's what I mean. I don't think they'd be really kind of engaging in it, but no. I would love to.
And like not even schools in Cork and Dublin, as in everywhere. We will travel.
We'll have to pay for the train ticket.
And the dinner and the lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe she might
fill up her plastic cup that she just bought for her coffee because Carly didn't get her one.
Yeah. I'm getting you a mug. I'm actually going to ring the guard because I'm bollocksed. I'm very tired.
Probably arrest
but yeah, on a real note, that is something that we were speaking about. And as well, the amount of women that contact me on Instagram being like, have you and Shannon, and it's been asked of the two of us, have you and Shannon got a support group for younger women?
Yeah, and I was going to set one up on Facebook, but there was lots of terms and conditions. And
oh, Shannon, and it's very tedious.
And people coming into it for the wrong reasons to get information out of it, to go back.
Yeah, and we're quite emotional characters as well. And I think if people are going to be bringing all that in, we have to be in a stable position in their own minds.
That to me was like, you're going to take on like maybe hundreds of people's cancer stories and their journeys. He's like,
can't even handle epoxy out.
I was like, oh yeah, actually no, that's a bad idea.
But yeah, also do want to create a safe space for younger
them, yeah.
Not even all women, of course, but in a sense younger women, because it's so taboo for us
because it has happened to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, we would love to go to schools. We would love to, like, you know, even I was thinking like dance classes, camogie groups, like anywhere where there'd be a large group of girls, just to educate them, just to tell them what to
have, the comfortable conversation for them, not to be embarrassed.
I swear to God, my dad walks into my house, him and Barry sitting there, I'm like, when was the last time you checked your testicles?
Yeah.
And like, I'm not embarrassed to say that, like, because you have to do it. It's
absolutely
not an there should be no stigma.
Such an alien thing.
And I would
men.
Love to go in and say, girls, when was the last time you just had a feel of your boobs? And they're like, oh my God, never. I'm like, why?
Yeah. And it's much easier, again, coming from probably two younger women than a six-year-old one being like, have you checked your breasts now today, girls? Because I'd be like, ah, Sister Michael, will you stop now?
Sister, yeehaw, go away.
Well, do come here to you while we're on the subject. Is that something you do regularly?
Yeah, obviously.
Really?
Yeah.
Very proud of you for that, because most men...
No, because of you, that's why.
Really? Would you know if something was different then?
Like, no, I have this lump on my chest about 5 years now, but I don't think it's anything. Like, if you want to give it a feel, it's nothing. But other than that, now I do check them. Now I would know. Because, like, I'm normally never...
There's never anything there.
No, but from one end of the year to the other, it's normally just, like, one cold and flu towards when we go from summer into winter. Yeah, that's the only time I'd ever kind of be sick.
But you'd look 75. After yourself if you did come to be sick. Yeah, you wouldn't be abiding that. Yeah.
75 I just will not give €50 for them to hand me that little lump. It's fine. Okay. What?
Sick once a year? 75 doses of COVID?
No, well, that doesn't count. So I do check myself. Good. Ian, do you check yourself? Good man.
Good man. Of course Ian checks himself. Give one.
Round of applause for Ian, lads. Yeah, but it's just something that I don't want people to be uncomfortable about. And if we can create that, and if we can do that, if we can go in and be like, check your ditties, then we will do that.
Yeah. Grab your baps for Carly. That was the whole thing. Yeah.
Grab your baps for Carly.
Absolutely. That was the first time, me little PSA that I put out when I first got sick. I was like, listen, just give your ditties a feel today.
You see, it's a bit awkward for me where my position is. So someone asked me the other day, would I do a tutorial on how to check for lumps in the groin? I was like, and how would you like me to do that without getting my whole foof out on Instagram?
Have a little fiddle with the middle on the camera, you'd be fresh.
Only fans, here only we fans. Come.
You've been making millions.
Right, I need to say this and I need to get her up out of my esophagus and it needs to come out right now. Why didn't I start an OnlyFans when I was riddled? Because I'm telling you now, there's a niche in the market. There's some sick people in this world.
What? But cancer?
Oh my God, they've a heart for it. Do you know how many men... No, let me hold my hand up.
No.
Shannon, listen to me, because you're a married woman, right?
One second now. Bald as an egg.
Do you know I was cleaning up when I was like Phil Mitchell? I'll tell you now.
Go away. I wouldn't even look at Barry.
Man onto me. Listen, so when I got sick, right, it's like this. It's like a fixation thing kicks in. They want to look after you. Oh, listen, chicken,
Carly,
like...
you need help.
I don't need help. It's the men that got onto me that need the fucking help, let
you
me tell
you.
You
do need help as well.
Well, that as well, yeah. I'm in help, it's all right. But I'm being the helped. Amount of fellas that I get in touch and be like, oh my God, you're so strong. Like, it's a pity you haven't got somebody to look after you. My mother will look after me. Thank you, sir.
Get Sharon off is my looking phone. After me.
Like, the amount of fellas that had, like, this little fixation and they want to fix it and they want to make you feel better. It actually is a little bit disturbing. But
so did you go on dates when you were in the middle of chemo? What? Like, I'm sorry now.
Did you?
No.
Oh, Carly.
I've never been on a date in my life.
Did
sorry
you?
Now.
No.
Swear. Because if you did, I'm going to pull the head off you. Because you wouldn't even come out half the time because you had to be in a bubble. So
I
you
was knee deep in COVID. Of course I wasn't on dates.
You did go on a date because you're smirking there. I know, you're lying. You're a liar.
I swear to God, after chemo, I'd come out, not a hair on any parts of my body, absolutely mangled, couldn't cope with my low blood pressure, was fainting every 5 minutes, and you were going out having dates.
I used to go out in the gaggling all after chemo.
Don't do that for laughs.
No, actually, don't do that. And I'm lying.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I didn't even have a hangover the next day to chemo at the gaggle.
Do you know what though? I still have some anti-sickness tablets left from my chemo. So sometimes if I'm hungover, I might take an anti-sickness tablet.
And do you know what? I like the honesty of all this because there's people that like have cancer and they're going to put the finger on the lip and they're going to act all high and mighty. We're and animals.
And they're going to say, that's disgraceful behaviour. But no.
I say, Mimaxolan's only going to sit there for so long.
Yeah.
It needs to be used.
Valid. It needs to use 2021. December 2022. No.
Not gonna have a medical card forever.
No, I never got one.
Yeah, but you are like, oh, look how high working to be.
It's because you have a blue tick.
I'm not saying that.
I do not work with the VH. I don't ever.
Did you not work for them before?
No.
Sorry, love. You were well looked after, but.
I was well looked after.
Yeah. On the bleed, look at you in the private healthcare system. I was dragged through the public. I was dragged.
Are you joking me? I spent more nights at A&E now. Sitting on a chair with my poor cancer-ridden body waiting for someone to give me an infusion.
No, Sean, you do genuinely be fucked onto a deck chair and they take a number. And people coming in with coughs and colds getting brought in before you. It's mad crap.
I'm like, sorry,
that's one
I'm
thing
actually...
I'm annoyed over. There needs to be a separate fucking A&E for people that have like really bad illnesses. Do you know for like chronic illness or that you're in a really dangerous... Say you're on chemo yet and you're going into A&E and there's some mad bastard riddled with something sitting beside you. The absolute chances of you getting sick from them is insane.
I'd be shriveled up like a prune because I was so dehydrated from being so sick from chemo that I wasn't eating or drinking.
Oh, she'd be like that little thing of SpongeBob. Chocolate!
Yeah. That was me. And then I was like, can someone just put me on a drip? Yeah, we can. Next Tuesday.
But that's what I mean. There's people coughing in your ear and all gooey and all disgusting sitting beside you. And you're like, I actually have no immune system. My neutrophils don't fucking exist anymore. And you're breathing down my neck. Like, that's something that needs to be sorted out. Big time.
I have one big question that I want to ask you. Do you ever think you'll be the same person again? And would you want to be? Carly, take it away first.
You're never, ever going to go back to the person you were before. Never. And I'm kind of very glad of it, because the person I was before, like that, before I got signed out of work with cancer, I was out on mental health leave. Mm-hmm. And I was, in 2019, mentally the worst I had ever been up until that point. I was violently ill in the head. So it was like when I had gotten sick, it was like, and I've said this on podcasts, I've said this on online before, like the life that I didn't want anymore was now the life that I was fighting to keep and to save. Mm-hmm. So I think getting cancer made me open my eyes an awful lot more to like the little things. And I said this as well online when I first got sick. I'd wake up in the morning, I'd be like, there's food in me, presses a roof over my head, I have hot water. And this is what I used to always say, like a fucking nice song came on the radio that I hadn't heard in a couple of years. And I'd be like, oh my God, isn't it lovely that I can just sing along to this and I can hear it. It's down to the most ridiculous things. And I really did appreciate my life an awful lot more. I think I grew up so much within that time. I was a very selfish person before I got sick. Still, I'm quite selfish. I'll hold my hands up. But I'm not as selfish. And I definitely consider people's feelings an awful lot more. I think just my life experience like catapulted, and I did grow up an awful lot from it.
It just puts it into a completely different perspective though.
Yeah.
And it is the little things like that. Hearing a song and being, you know, like what I always, not always, but sometimes I'd be like, oh my God, if I was dead, I wouldn't be able to do this. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, there was a day last week where Roisin was gone to a party, Barry was gone to the gym, and it was like 2 o'clock in the day. I went up and I just lay on the bed with a cup of coffee and a scone, and I watched like some stupid thing on Netflix, and I was like, I'm so comfortable. I love doing this. Is so small because I never get to do it. Yeah. I love doing this. Like, imagine if I had died, like I wouldn't be able to do it. And then, you know, it just makes you appreciate things. That probably sounds really weird.
No, but it makes just not, makes, well, it makes sense to me.
It makes you appreciate things so much more. I will never be the same person that I was. And I wouldn't say that I'm glad about that. I grieve that person all the time.
You were only a pup though when you got sick, Shan. That's only natural. Like, how could you not feel sorry for poor little 19-year-old you?
Well, that doesn't bother me. It was when after I had Roisin, I had my career. I was doing, you know, the, you get your boyfriend, you do your baby, you do your house.
All the steps were being taken.
You get married, you do all them. Whereas we had the baby, we were renting a house, we were saving for a mortgage. We knew we wanted to get married. And then here we are, like, 5 years later and just still have the baby.
Yeah.
And nothing else, because cancer has just taken over. So sometimes I get mad and I get pissed off with that. And I'm like, I just want to go back. Like, the one moment that sticks out in my head, we were in Muckross Gardens in Killarney. We had gone on like our first little family holiday. Roisin was only, she just two or one and a half, two. This was a Wednesday. We were walking around the gardens and I got a phone call from work. I had gone for an interview in the corporate development section. So I was like, I'm definitely not getting that, like, because that's a very high-end job. And the interview and, you know, and a lot of, like, people went for it. So I was like, I'm not going to get it. So anyway, I was like, here they are ringing me now to tell me. I was like, ruin my holiday. And they were like, oh, you've actually got it. And I was like, oh my God. And Barry literally picked me up and swung me around. He was like, things are looking up. Because I was getting a pay increase. I had flexi time. I could take a parental day. I was like, oh, you know, it was just everything that I wanted. And I was like, my life is perfect. You know, when you look at it, you're like, I have a healthy baby. I have a house over my head. We're saving for a mortgage. Barry has a great job. I now have a great job. Like, this is great. That was the Wednesday. The following Wednesday, I was sitting in Seamus O'Reilly's chair getting a biopsy.
No, I'm mad at getting a shiver up my back and all, because how can your world be pulled like a carpet out from underneath you that quick? Like,
pulled. The Monday morning, so that following Monday, I was starting my new job. Went in. We actually went to Dublin I was literally thrown in at the deep end. We went up to meet a company to give them a pitch for our healthcare, you know, loved it, loved doing it. I got a buzz off it. I was like, this is great. Can't wait to do this job. Coming back in the car, I was like, my leg's actually a little bit sore. Got home that evening and I just felt, and my stomach dropped. And I called Barry and I said, will you just feel this? But we hadn't been together the first time. So he was like, I don't really know what I'm feeling. But the minute he put his hand on my groin, he was like, oh my God. He was like, that's a lump. And I was like, yeah. I was like, it is, isn't it? Freaked out straight away. Got on to Professor O'Reilly, who was just an absolute angel. And he was like, come up to me tomorrow. We sorted out. Went up to him the Tuesday. He felt it. He said, look, I'm not going to lie to you. Just by feeling it, I think that, you know, he has years of experience of what lymph nodes feel like. So he's like, I think this could be a relapse. But he said, look, you've gotten to 5 years, so it's very unlikely. Next day we did the biopsy and boom, there you have it. Your life has just turned upside down. A week ago, you were starting a new job, living your best life, you're planning all these things. And 7 days later, you've got cancer for the second time at 24 years of age.
Fucking hell.
And now you're like, will I see my baby go to school? Will I ever get married? Will I ever get a house? Do you know, it's, and people don't think about those things. Like, those things are still with me. Like, but when I looked at my life plan 5 years ago, right now I'm supposed to have 2 kids. I'm supposed to own a house. I'm supposed to have a lovely car. I'm supposed to be married. Do you know, but just because that one day, that one lump, that one pain, that biopsy, your world is turned up.
No, I'm annoyed over that. I need a minute.
I'm sorry about that.
No, I'm fucking annoyed at you now because I'm not the better. Very nervous now. Like, how can you sit in front of us now and even with the way you think about everything and, like, just looking at you, you'd never dream. If nobody knew you walked in from that office now, would never put their finger on that this is all after happening to you in the space of how many years? Because you don't exude that. Cancer isn't your personality. I see why you moved away from Big C and me. Because there's so much more to you than your illness, than your sickness. But I can't believe that it's after taking up such a large part of your life as well. And you are the person you are now. Like, you're a credit to yourself, your family, Roisin, Barry, everybody.
You're going to set me off.
Sorry, because I'm not well. But I can't believe that you're sitting here in front of us the way you are now. And even after only a couple of days ago, coming back from Dublin, after going and figuring out, yeah, there is lumps there. Listen, we have to keep an eye on them. And you're still, after, first of all, coming up here to do this podcast with us. Second of all, you're still sitting here and you're able to talk so openly about everything to help other people, to put other people right. And I'm just amazed by it.
That was my thing. That was genuine my thing. I wanted to help other people because if I had to go through it, I wanted to help other people and just show that it does happen. And then you get ripped apart for doing these things. And I really would love to say to people, I am real. Of course I've made mistakes. Of course I've said things that I shouldn't have said. Of course I've phrased things wrong. Who hasn't?
Yeah, absolutely. Who hasn't? Human at the end of the day, we haven't got a fucking filter on us when we're going online.
Exactly.
We're opening up our hearts, opening up our experiences, our emotions to you to fucking help you.
People in to the most vulnerable time of my life. The most precious things in my life is my child.
Yeah.
And I opened her up and I shared her. She was ripped apart. I was ripped apart. My family was ripped apart.
Dirty animals for it. And if I, oh God, forgive me, if I ever got my hands on anyone, then I promise you, I'll burden every single one of them. And I, from the bottom of my heart, if I ever caught anybody that put you in that position and made you feel that way, I'm fine.
But it did. I spent, before one of my chemos, they didn't know if I could have it because I was stuck to this. I'm not even going to give it the airtime. I was stuck to this page and I was reading what they were saying about myself. I was it was consuming my mind. I was reading, and I lost nearly a stone. So when I went up for chemo, I couldn't even get the right dose of chemo because it's, you know, the way it goes by your weight.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I actually had to end up getting a lower dose because I was a much lower weight. And that was from like 2 weeks of constantly reading shit about
you. So if anybody is sitting and listening to this podcast and you dream of writing underneath any of these fucking forums or posts or anybody's Instagram posts or sending people fucking vile messages off false pages, think about that, because that came in the way of your actual treatment, life-saving treatment, by the way, and that altered that. So if you
and that was
are
only
sick
me,
enough,
there's so many more that are getting it, and it might not be because someone has cancer or whatever, but so like if somebody has, I know I have mental health struggles, I know that. But I feel like I have them under control. I'm quite positive with them. I can control them. I would never think of harming myself or anything like that. I love living. Yeah. I love life and I love my life.
Yeah.
But I worry for the person who doesn't have that and who is not strong enough.
Who's on the brink.
Who's on the brink.
It's only going to take that
and
one
message.
And
who just says, do you know what? I'll just go on really quickly and see if they're saying anything about me today. They see that message and that's it. Those people on that forum will have blood on their hands.
Yeah.
There's people on that forum.
I don't understand how it's still going.
No, it's disgusting.
It's fucking baffling. Like, how?
Like, how can that not just be shut down from the fucking centre of it? Because that is scandalous, and the effects that has on people's
lives. Because of the millions of money it's making.
Does it make?
Oh, like the women who own it, they're sitting at home multimillionaires.
Oh, all and the imagine ads sitting that come knowing up. That the money coming into your bank account yeah. is what that's from.
Yeah.
Blood money.
Literally. It's at the expense of other people's lives.
And as people signing up just for the crack. Oh, I just have a profile just to look at
just
the threats.
To look, yeah.
You're a contribution to yeah. that. You are adding to all them clicks, all them fucking hours you spend reading that's them forums.
Pushing,
you're just fucking
pushing.
So if you spend any of your time on these forums, lads, seriously, you really need to think about it, because it won't be until it knocks on your door or until it's a friend of yours or a family member of yours that you'll see the effects of it and you'll see how fucking dangerous it is.
Or if somebody is just listening to this now, right, and you're going, oh, listen to them now because they get trolled and they don't want to get trolled. That's fine, right? Obviously, we don't want to read things about ourselves. I personally don't anymore. Really, really, just I couldn't put myself mm-hmm. through it. Someone said to me, it's like a form of self-harm if you go on and read that kind
well,
of stuff.
Is.
So when that actually dropped a penny, I was like, do you know what? You're dead right. Yeah. So I'm not going to self-harm myself anymore. So I don't read it. But where was I going with that one? If you're reading these forums, even if you're not contributing and you're just reading them and you're going, oh yeah, that is true about him, or yeah, she does do that, or and you're just talking about it to your friends or talking about it to yourself. Imagine if you or your child or someone close to you, a friend, if something tragic happened to them and they were down in the gutter, be it anything, be it an illness, be it a mental illness, be it addiction, be it anything, and they were down in the gutter and needed help, but all you were reading online was, I hope cancer kills that, C-U-N-T, I hope her chemo doesn't work today, that child is a rotten little bitch.
Jesus Christ.
Imagine having to read that stuff when you're down in the gutter. So that's what people who are on these websites are contributing to.
Yeah.
And that is just not nice. Yeah. It's not good behaviour.
Regardless of whether they're
right. I know
or
I've
not.
Said and done stuff in the past.
It.
And one of the big things why I got cancelled was because, and a lot of people will like have known about this, is what I said to that lady who, basically she sent me messages of abuse.
I remember this.
I've sent you the messages.
Yeah,
you've seen the messages.
You did, yeah.
Messages of abuse. And she had told me that she was actually terminally ill. And I wrote back, in the moment, I snapped because I'm a human and I was sick shit of getting abuse
if
off
you
people.
Keep on poking the child, eventually they're going to fucking
yeah.
snap.
And I just said, listen, you don't have long left to live and this is what you're doing with your time. And I left it at that.
And they had right to say it right? as well. She'd have got worse at me.
So then that's how I got cancelled. So she screenshot my message and put it all over the place. I asked her an innocent question and this is what I got back from her, and I'm a dying woman. What she also didn't, and this is my first time ever putting it out because I won't give her airtime on my Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
She never showed or spoke about the 4 messages of a voice note apology that I sent her within an hour of sending the message.
Of course she didn't, because that didn't contribute to her narrative. That didn't sue her.
I apologise. I said, I'm so sorry. I snapped. I've just been I've been having it all day. I was sick of people. I'm not doing anything wrong. I shared somebody's GoFundMe and then she got, sure, where's yours? Give him yours. And all this abuse. And I was going, that's another story for another day. But, and I apologised and I said, I'm really sorry for saying what I said. Like, it wasn't nice and I'm not that kind of person. And I said, I wouldn't have slept tonight if I didn't actually apologise to you. And she blocked me. So I was like, grand. And then up on one of the forums, she had put up, never even got an apology off her. And people are going, like, even if she just apologised and acknowledged what she did.
Oh, well, but
this
listen,
is me
Shannon,
acknowledging
not being
it.
Smart,
and
you're looking for their saving grace anyway. Fuck them if they think you apologised or not, because it's fuck all got to do with them.
Nothing got to do with them.
Do you know
and
what I'm saying? You know you did.
But that's how you see, that's how a story gets so twisted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That like that's why cropping and deleting messages and, like, you know, only showing what you want to be.
But this is the frightening thing about social media.
I was portrayed.
People are chopping videos, voice notes, everything.
I was portrayed as this cancer survivor who was bullying terminally ill cancer
poor
patients.
Poor of all people, like.
Like, I couldn't be further from, like, no, I'd bully
you're
you,
a
like.
Slagging bastard.
I'd bully
oh,
you.
Yeah, God forgive me, I haven't had a minute off now since you put her foot off that fucking train. But you'd never, ever go after somebody.
No,
Jesus.
And just the fact that people were thinking that, like, was what was making me sick. Like, I lost everything that I loved. I lost Instagram. I lost my agency. I lost brands that I loved working
with.
Were
you dropped?
Yeah, over that. They emailed and emailed and emailed. the agency were like, we're getting too many emails and it's a business decision. I was like, grand, whatever.
Yeah, but they'll see now I'm more like the Kardashians and I bleed and laugh in their faces.
But you know what? Like this, me and Mam were talking about this month. When they dropped me, I cried hysterically. I was like, I can't believe it. Like, I really needed them to help me. And look, I'm not bashing anyone. They were absolutely amazing to work with. And when we worked together, we had a great working relationship. But I really needed guidance in that time because whole internet was coming after me and I didn't know what to do or where to navigate, or if they just said, take a break, we'll cancel your collaborations for the next month, take a break, we'll review it or whatever. But they just kind of left me high and dry.
No, they bottled it. They should have had you back there.
And I feel they probably should have as well, but they didn't. And look, no hard feelings. It is what it is. It's business at the end of the day. I took a month off. I came back and oh my God, I'm registered self-employed. This is the first announcement.
My Kris Jenner, my woman, here she comes.
This is my first announcement of it.
Exclusive?
Exclusive. My own brand is coming. Not telling you what. Stop. My own brand is coming.
Dirty.
I had to make my own cup. No, it's not cups. Own brand is coming. I've had to turn down collaborations for the next 2 months because my calendar is literally chocka. I am getting so many opportunities, experiences, going to events. I can do it on my own.
You can do whatever you want on your own, sweetheart.
We're badass bitches. We can do whatever we want on our own.
I think that all of this has just been great educationally as regards cancer, as regards your personal lives and showing your personality to what you are, because I always say you're a bollocks in real life. She's like a Disney princess on Instagram.
Yeah. I come on, morning everybody.
She's a little fucked though, and I'm glad because you can see our humour and you're getting a bit of our personality. But like I said, you're after educating so many people and you're a guiding light for people that are going through chemo, that are going through any sort of sickness at the moment, really, to see somebody that is after going through sickness, relapsing.
But Carly, so are you. You're sitting here giving all this to me, being like literally telling me how amazing I am and I'm doing all this. You've done the exact same thing and you're still sitting here and you're still doing your thing.
The way you're talking about, actually.
Don't cry.
No, I'm not crying. I don't look, I will never be able to look at myself in that light. I don't know why. And maybe one day. But I admire you for what you're after doing.
And I admire you for what you're after doing.
And I love the both of you for what
you're
after doing.
I love you too, Sean.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming on and opening up for us, Sean, and just giving us a little piece of you and having the giggles with us. I'm after really loving it. The fact that you're after being the first guest means the fucking world to me.
It means
and
the world to
more.
Me. I can't believe he asked me. I was like, when you asked me, I was going, no, they're too funny. I can't be doing that. I'd be like just sitting there and they'd just be making jokes. But
you're a witty bitch. I need you to know that in the loveliest sense possible.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take it.
Lovely. Absolutely.
We're all full of compliments today, aren't we?
And Sean's full of rescue remedy.
I just sat here on the chair, literally just looking at them back and forth. But Shannon, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank
you're
you, darling.
Little angel in disguise.
Thank you.
I love you so much. And we'll see you next time, lads.